Hello and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends on opposite sides of the country try to stay in touch. The podcast where two best friends on opposite sides of the country try to stay in touch so they don't drift apart forever, which is sort of what inevitably happens to friendships when you try and do them long distance. On the West Coast, weighing in at 169 pounds, nice, a writer for American Dad and a father himself of two pretty darn neat kids, Soren Bowie. And on the other side, weighing, I don't want to guess, probably more than that, but only because he's got the rock in his calves on the coast, Daniel O'Brien! Oh. Boo! Boo! Hiss! Hiss! Daniel, say hello.
Yeah, hi. I don't think I've ever done a mean intro.
I think the only thing that was mean there was that I booed you.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm referring to also.
Okay, well, there has to be a heel.
There's never like a boxing match where
everybody's excited for both of them.
Yeah.
I would love to see that boxing match where they're like excited for the first guy and the next guy's like a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great.
They didn't know who was going to be, and they're like, oh, I like, well, I could tell you already who won, the fans.
I can't wait to watch these two men that I like punch each other to death.
Thanks to Nutrafol for supporting Quick Question. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use natural, medical-grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription.
Thanks to Shopify for supporting Quick Question. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big business. For a free 14-day trial and full access to Shopify's entire suite of features, go to shopify.com/QQ. I don't know. I guess. I revealed a lot by giving out my weight. I assume that you probably... We're built differently in that for whatever reason, I've got the legs of an ostrich. I have skinny legs, but they're very long and proportionally to the rest of my body, to the point where you and I sit next to each other and I'm considerably shorter than you in my upper torso.
Yeah.
And then you also have probably some of the best gams in the business.
Thank you. Yes. I got these big, heavy tree trunk legs and a world-class dumper that I'm lugging around everywhere I go.
You bring your asset with you everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, even just like reaching things off the top shelf is a workout because I gotta heave all this shit straight up into the sky.
I don't think it could be that much work. Your legs are strong. I was surprised the first time that you and I played basketball that you don't jump higher.
I'm not a good jumper, and I don't know if that's something that can be worked on.
You can.
You have a really great vertical leap. Yes. I don't know if you
bird
still
body.
Do.
Yeah. It's a light bones. I got no bone density.
Yeah, this is a top of mind thought now because I'm sure you're not watching the Book of Boba Fett because that's on currently, and so there's absolutely no way you're even up to season two of The Mandalorian yet.
That's insulting, and you're absolutely right.
There's an episode where a character named Grogu, who's very small, is doing...
I know Grogu.
Okay, great. So Baby Yoda is getting trained, and his teacher is like, jump. And Grogu does a little jump, and the teacher's like, no, you could jump better than that, jump higher than that. And watching that, I know it's all fantasy space stuff, but I also thought, like, is that... Could I get better at jumping? I thought you're like born with a height that you could reach, and that's it. And you're just like assigned it at birth. And some of us are high jumpers, and some of us aren't. I had no idea that it was something that I could get better at if I had the right teacher.
Plyometrics, Dan. You can learn how to jump higher and higher. I for a long time I thought I will learn how to dunk.
Yeah.
I will get so good at jumping high that I will learn how to dunk. And then obviously gave up on that like I did all my dreams. But you can definitely get much better at it. You are a fast runner. I've been smoked by you on running before.
I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, we've run to the beach before. There was one day where we ran to the beach and I was like, can we walk this part?
I mean, you don't. You're gassing me up after all the booze. It's fine. I bounced back from it. You don't got to worry.
Oh no, this is. I'm not trying to blow smoke. There was definitely a time where I was humbled because I was like, I don't think I can keep up with this. Yeah. But yeah, you and I have run a few times together. We ran a Tough Mudder together.
I was dog shit on that race. I'd like to do it again now.
I don't think I ever want to do it again in my life.
Yeah, you're right. We probably shouldn't do it.
Oh, did I convince you with all
because like I remembered being bad at it, and I think I could be better at it now. And like at 36, whenever I see anything that I'm like, I can do this better than my younger self. If it's a physical thing, then like it's immediately very appealing to me. Like I love being faster now than I am than I was 5 years ago. So I was happy to pounce on doing a Tough Mudder again, but then I remembered how unpleasant it was, and would be again.
And unpleasant in a way that's not like a testament to your grit.
Yeah.
Like in a way that's just torture for torture's sake. Like there's some fun stuff in there, but then there's also greased monkey bars. Yeah. And no one can actually do the greased monkey bars because it's like they're just greased in weird ways where like you don't know which ones are greased. So you're doing these monkey bars and you just have to kind of guess. And if you hit a greased one, you're not hanging on. Nobody's hanging on to the greased monkey bar. It's just there to hurt you. And then also you get shocked by car batteries for a while.
Yeah, that's in my memory, the worst part was going into the ice bath because they make you plunge for a certain amount of time underwater in like a giant vat of freezing cold water that I don't know all of our bodies are ready to handle. No. But then I remembered, in addition to that, we also got like on purpose electrocuted a bunch of times.
Multiple times. Yeah. There's like a section where you run through some wires and they zap you. And then there's a section where you crawl through some wires and they zap you. And then you crawl down in a tunnel and you get zapped and all you're seeing are these like sparks in the dark.
And you're like, you're crawling through, it's complete darkness and sparks, and you're hearing other people go, ow! You're just like hearing screams of strong people in pain, and you can't just like stop and quit because you wandered into some hastily put together shock tunnel.
We did it on a day that was, I think it was about 42 degrees outside. There was peaks around us, and there was snow on top of the peaks, and it was the morning, and so it was cold, like frost on the ground, cold. Yeah. And we did it, and there was, I guess they used the whatever sort of terrain they can to improve the race, or I guess make it worse for people. But there was a section where we had to swim out into a lake and swim under these buoys, and That was the biggest torture to me because at least in that ice dunk tank, you're just going down and up for a second. You don't have a lot of time for your core temperature, for like all your blood to rush into the middle of your body so that you don't feel your limbs anymore. Like out in the lake, that definitely was happening. It was way too cold to be out there and you could just like, your lips are turning blue. And I remember getting out and being like, I see everyone else is kind of walking and recovering from this, but I need to run right now or I'm going to get hypothermia. Yeah.
It's also a thing where we paid for it.
That was so dumb.
Like we were so excited to take this trip and like do this race and in the very beginning, someone is giving like a super inspirational speech about how like we are all better people because we're doing this. We are the Tough Mudder, and like clap yourselves on the give yourself a hand. You know, pat yourself on the back.
That's exactly how the speech went. You're good for doing this. Clap yourself. Give yourself a hand.
But like, we really started this race like, this is the same as going to war for our country. We are tough and good and brave. And then smash cut to mile 6 of a 12-mile torture run where I'm getting electrocuted and freezing to death. I'm like, I paid $145 fucking dollars. And woke up early to do this. This is such a nightmare.
It was. There was like some moments of it that were very telling for me. Where like, thinking about it as like going into battle is a very good way to think about it. Because like I was not gun shy at the beginning. I was like, yeah, we're going out, we're doing this. And then in the moment, like the heat of battle, I was like, what am I doing here? Like there are people who were doing like these rope climbs. There you have to climb up this one section, and it's got a very dynamic landscape behind it. It looks very cool. And like they would do it and then someone would hand them a camera and they'd go back down and do it again, and they'd get pictures of themselves doing it. And I was like, what? That's not in the spirit of a race. What are you doing? Like, they're just doing it for the, like, military porn, essentially. Like, yeah. look at this amazing thing I'm doing. And I was kind of humiliated by the end of it. There was, I'm all for testing your mental and physical fortitude. That's fine. But that's not what this thing was. That's not what a Tough Mudder is. It's just, it's silly.
There's also, for anyone who's never done a race before, any race, not even just Tough Mudder, one of the real joys about doing it is hanging out after the race and just being in that like race atmosphere, because there's always snacks. Sometimes there's free beer around. You're also around a bunch of other people who just did whatever this race was. You all finished it. You've got your medals and you're like hanging out. You're part of this community. There's very often live bands, and it's like a really enriching, fun part of any race I've ever done. And we both finished the Tough Mudder. And true to form, there is a band playing. We each got our free beers. And we're just like sitting silently at this picnic table. Didn't even finish our beers. At some point, we're just like, can we just go? Can we just, we've got a long drive ahead of us. Can we get out of here?
We have a good friend, Greg Burke, from at the time, Sketch Group Greg and Lou, which I don't know if they still make sketches or not. But he was a guy you see in Cracked videos a lot. As soon as I got back and I was kind of like trying to explain it to him, I couldn't articulate it yet. And I was like kind of like trying to explain. He's like, ugh. That sounds like Marine boot camp cosplay. And I was like, yes, yes, that's exactly what Perfect. It is.
When it comes to thinning hair, you no longer have to choose between natural remedies and those that work. I love Nutrafol because, unlike my ex-wife, it works. Nutrafol is a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions or any of that yap, yap, yap from you-know-who. Did you know? There are 5 root causes of thinning hair, and 6 if you count the former ball and chain. Nutrafol is the hair supplement that goes beyond genetics to target stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, and environmental factors that may be impacting your hair. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage without compromise. Hear that? Good things don't have to come with compromise. 21 potent natural ingredients support sex drive, better sleep, and less stress too. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. Top doctors? Sounds like my ex-wife! She's a neurosurgeon. Forgot you didn't know that. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code QQ to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code QQ.
All right, well, we should get to the show.
Yeah, we get into the show. I wanted to give you some updates.
Okay.
DOB's devotees know I've been taking Spanish. I'm on day 26. I take it every day for 30 minutes, this Spanish class that I take on the Pimsleur app. I say class, just like lessons. You're learning 30 minutes of an audio lesson. I'm actually, because the classes have gotten a little bit more difficult as time has gone on, I usually take them twice a day now, where I'll do like my nighttime class, and then the next day I'll take that one again, and then do whatever, you know, staying current. So I still haven't missed a day in my 26 or 27 days, however many it's been. And I love it for 1,000 reasons. We're going to get into the funny reasons. I do want to just again shout out how cool it is to learn things. Like, I don't know if this is going to... It's something on the list of things that I wish I could tell my younger self. I would gently like to tell him that we like learning stuff a whole lot, because like it would enrich younger me's life. Like, I'm not trying to do anything to make my current life better. I don't want to tell young me to invest in Apple or whatever, but I want to be like, hey, you should know that like you find the act of learning something and taking a regular class very rewarding. If you just, so start doing it now, because, you know, just take my word for it. Once you do it, you'll love it. Because I really do love it. There's, I don't think I'm going to end up being like casually fluent in Spanish by next year or anything like that. I don't even know if I can really I'll be able to hold my own with like high schoolers who are currently taking Spanish. But having the objective of a class and learning something new and like practicing something is really fun. And sometimes the app will be like, how do you say this sentence that, you know, is a slightly more complex sentence, and I get it right. It's fucking thrilling. You suddenly know stuff that you like at the age that we're at, we never learn anything anymore. Yeah. Like the lessons that we learn are like life lessons. Like you learn stuff about raising kids, I'm sure. And we learn stuff about ourselves, but like, there's never that like practice to reward relationship that you used to get from like actually learning something. And it's just a damn blast. I'm really glad I'm taking Spanish. It's recommended to me. This app was recommended by Anna Fitzpatrick, a great writer who you can find on Twitter at BananaFitz, I believe. And anyway, on to the stupid bullshit that we get into for this show. I've talked to you, Soren, about it before, about how I'm a little curious about what exactly they're teaching me or what kind of person they're preparing me to be, because we don't do like the alphabet or numbers or like, here are all the verbs that you're going to need to know. You practice conversations that you were learning at the time. And I've joked before about like the unintentional comedy about it with, what clearly felt like a passive aggressive domestic fight that I was learning how to be a man whose female partner couldn't decide what she wanted to eat and was just like barely keeping it together. That was one of the lessons that this app seems to think I need to know. There's another thing. There is one that I just learned last week. There's people who are at a restaurant and they're like, you sit down at a table. You see two strangers and there's two unrelated people, and the narrator's like, you ask the waitress, who is that man? Immediately, like an unhinged thing to do, to ask a waitress, like, who is, like, point to a man at a restaurant. Who is that? And the waitress, because this is like a shared universe of lunatics, the waitress is like, that man? He's sick. And then you say,
Jesus.
And who is that woman? That woman also. Who is she? And the waitress says, she's sick too. And you say, I want to send a glass of water to that man. And the woman too. Give that man and that woman a glass of water. These are all stuff that like I'm hearing the narrator say, and then I'm saying it in Spanish. It's like, send them a glass of water. And for me, give me a beer. I'm not sick. It's such a strange scenario that like start to finish, insane.
It sounds like the Red Room in Twin Peaks is where all this takes place.
And were I to internalize this and learn all this, it really positions me to be an asshole in this scenario where like the waitress goes over to the table and is like, the gentleman over there, he thought you looked like shit. He wants you to have this water. There he is drinking a beer. He's not sick. You are sick. He is not. That's why he gets beer. And he has sent you free water.
Not you, lady. The guy. The man may have the water. I know you are both sick, but the man may have the water.
We have another lesson that I love, and I'm going to play some of it on this podcast. In this scene, you're talking to a friend of yours, and you ask him about a friend of his, and he tells you that you don't want to talk to him. And you ask, you're asking, is that because the friend speaks Spanish too quickly? Like, they're maybe too fast for you to understand? And he says, no, he speaks slowly, but a lot. And he doesn't leave. If we go to a restaurant together, he doesn't leave. And the scene continues.
Try to ask, what does he talk about? Literally, of what does he speak?
¿De qué habla? ¿De qué habla?
Él responde,
who knows?
¿Quién sabe?
Of many things.
De muchas cosas.
Of nothing.
De nada.
Pregunta,
how's that?
¿Cómo?
I don't understand.
No entiendo.
Él dice,
you don't want to know. No quieres saber. Tú no quieres saber.
What kind of fucking passive-aggressive guy are they training me to be? For the, to, like, here's how you tell someone, this person talks too much and they never leave. They talk, who knows what they're talking about? Everything. Nothing. You don't want to know. This is, I want you, it's important for me to tell you, Soren, I haven't learned how to say hospital yet.
I
just know how to be a dick behind my friend's back.
Oh, man, I want to know what stories lost out to these. Like, what they were, when they were making these, there must have been, like, other ones where they're like, no, that's too weird. Yeah. Let's do something a little simpler. Let's do something about a sick man at the restaurant. let's do something about a friend betraying another friend. That'll be way easier for people to understand.
I really
that's
love
wild.
I love the narrative decision to that the female character, like, it gives him an out. When she's like, Como, what's that? Or,
yeah. Did you say what I thought you said?
You have a chance to not be a prick here. Like, ah, no, doubling down. You
I'm
don't want to know.
It again. I took Spanish in college, and back then it was like, you didn't do it over the internet when you had to watch these types of videos where they were, there's like these little vignettes that you'd watch all the time. But we actually had to go to like a Spanish lab, which was this room that had all these computers in it. You put on headphones and you do a certain number of volumes from these vignettes. And you're going to do like groceries one day. And a lot of times it's the same characters who appear in all of them. And it's these very simple, very straightforward stories. But like there's a real dynamic that starts to form between the characters in a way where maybe, I mean, looking back on it, it may be that I was all horned up because I was in college, but there were like this man, this woman who I very vividly remember them going and getting fruit one day, and they're in the kitchen putting fruit away and talking and laughing about the fruit in a way that I was like, just fuck already. Like they were like, she'd be like holding these bananas very coyly. She'd be like, ¿Quieres comer las plátanos conmigo? Like, do you want to eat these with me? It's like, what? No, yeah. This is you. These are like the games you play when you don't know what else to say, but you're like, hey, I'm going to say this in a really sexy way. Do you also want to do that? And then he's also like, sí. Yeah. ¿Quieres comer? Like, I mean, quiero comer. Like, they're like, it's clear that there's some subtext and no one's addressing it. The show never addresses it because it has no idea that there's actual subtext because it's just trying to teach you Spanish. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's possible I'll get to lesson 31 and it'll just be like, and then they finally give in to their carnal urges. You don't have to repeat anything, but here's what it sounds like to fuck in Spanish. And then I just listen to that for the whole class. It's such a strange sensation because when they're teaching you, the sentences are always simple and they repeat things a lot in a way that is very, like, alien and confusing. And that's why you assume it's loaded with subtext, because it's not how people talk at all. And they're, like, when I'm learning how to say your friend and we're at a party, they'll just, keep finding ways for my character to say your friend over and over again. It's like, and your friend, is your friend coming to the party? Your friend, does your friend eat meat? Because in Argentina, there is meat. Your friend. Does your friend talk fast or slow? I'm like, oh man, this,
you got to.
I would text that friend and be like, "Don't come to the party. Mateus is acting weird.
Mateus wants to know all about you."
Mateus asked if you eat meat. What should I say? He just sent water to my dad.
This is the third time he's approached me to ask you what time you're coming, if you are coming, and how far away your friend is.
It's also very strange when, like, the lesson that we had last night, and again, I'm on like 27 or 26 of these classes. Last night I learned left and right because we're getting into directions. And I was like, why the fuck did I learn how to shit talk my friend before asking for directions on how to get somewhere?
I'm racking my brain trying to figure out why they think you need to know these particular things.
Yeah.
I mean,
he talks too much. About nothing.
Oh, that's a good phrase. I should write that down. I'll be saying that a lot.
Especially because, like, if I sincerely want to, like, hang out with people and practice my Spanish with people who know it better than I do, but I don't think I will endear myself to any group of folks. I'm like, can I practice my Spanish on you? And all I'm doing is, all I know how to do is, like, that guy talks too much, huh? He talks about so many things, and he talks about nothing. You don't even want to know what he talks about. And then I'm like, how did I do? And they're like, hey, great, you prick.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're supposed to say, what? And then I say, about nothing. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh,
yeah. But I do have a blast.
I'm with you on, like, learning new things. How great that feels. I remember my dad, I mean, in school, you don't realize it because all you're doing is learning the entire time. And you're like, I could use a little break from this. But I remember my dad taking just like, he'd go like take elective courses at the local community college or whatever on physics. And I was, as a kid, I was like, what are you doing? You're done with this.
Is your dad also forcing you?
And I did never understand it. And then as an adult, every time when you start to learn a new thing, it's like you're unlocking this part of your brain that not only learns that very specific task or that skill set, but it's just like it opens you up to like seeing things differently. When I do like woodworking and I'm figuring out how to make joints or something like that, my brain is more primed to accept other information from the world in a way that it's not otherwise, where I'm like, I'm excited about this new thing. Oh, and there's other things around me too that I didn't even realize.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I'm running the risk of turning into Buster Bluth as just like a lifelong student who just like keeps racking up strange degrees. And like, you'll see me in a couple of years taking cartography classes and just whatever other weird shit I'm into. But I like it. I feel like when I'm done with Spanish, again, I probably won't be able to just like be dropped somewhere and communicate 100% effectively. When I am done with this class, I feel like I will want to pick up another language just to still have something to practice and work on every day.
Yeah. Cha-ching! Here's my response to that sound. I love it! Oh, that sound makes me smile. Shopify is an all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Supercharge your knowledge and your sales and your success. For a free 14-day trial, go to shopify.com/QQ. Attention all entrepreneurs like me. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, giving you the resources once reserved for big businesses. Customized for you. Don't let the big guy squeeze you out. I didn't. With a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life and tools to manage and drive sales. Believe me, when this podcast started, we had nobody working on it. It was a skeleton crew. It was one person who was doing sound and audio engineering. It was our CFO, Bacon, and it was Dan and me. Can you believe how small that was? And now look at us. I love how Shopify makes it easy for anyone to successfully run your own business. Like me, Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs. From first sale to full scale, and every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. That could be you. Access powerful tools to help you find customers, drive sales, and manage your day-to-day. Gain the knowledge and confidence with resources to help you succeed. There's 24-hour support, and so you'll never be alone. And it's more than just a store. Shopify grows with you as your business grows. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/QQ, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/QQ right now. Well, Dan, speaking of learning a new language through these audio files that you've got.
Yeah. I would say, please continue in Spanish, but I only know how to say your neck looks fat, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
I don't know if you've seen it yet. I don't want to ruin it for you. Are you familiar with the new movie Looper?
I'm familiar with a movie Looper.
Yeah. So Looper's a movie that, as far as I know, came out last week because that's the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. I should preface this by saying if you're not a connoisseur, then you probably don't know that I catch everything a little late because of children and everything. I don't usually watch movies until they've been out for upwards of a decade.
Yeah. Do you actually know when this movie came out?
I don't know when it came out.
Fully 2012.
Oh, man.
Isn't that nuts? Doesn't that seem like a movie you remember coming to the theaters and being like, I'll catch that.
I'll get it soon. I'll go over to Video Hut and I'll get it. It was that long ago that I was like, I'll get it on DVD when it shows up at Video Hut.
Man, Bruce Willis has made like 300 movies called like Death on a Friday since then.
So I watched Looper finally, and I wanted to talk to you about it, if that's okay with you, as though it just came out, and these are all like really amazing and poignant points that I'm making about it. Can we?
Yeah, okay.
Can we live in that world?
Yeah, I want, just so everyone knows, I watched this when it came out like a law-abiding citizen. So please understand, anything that I remember from it is impressive of me.
Yes, I don't. You're the only person I can do this with, because you maintain an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that you've ever seen. Like the content that you consume, somehow it sticks with you. I shouldn't say somehow. You work at it. It's not like it's magic. It's hard work, but you take it all in, you know it, and then you have it in you. And like, you know every actor that was in it, you know all of their names.
That's true, but it comes at a cost. I have a nephew and I rely on him to tell me when my father's birthday is.
So, I was deeply surprised in Looper at how many kids get shot in that movie, first of all. That was very startling, to the point where I turned it off for a little bit. I generally watch my movies over a couple of nights just because logistics. But I the first kid gets shot in it. I don't know if you remember this. Bruce Willis he has three kids he wants to go kill in the present time, because in the future, one of these kids becomes an amazing gangster with superpowers who wipes out an entire the Eastern Seaboard or something like that, and like takes over all crime syndicates. So he's going to go find this kid. It's the go back in time and kill Hitler as a child scenario.
Yes.
So he finds
the central premise of Looper is, if you are a looper, someone will pay you to be at a location at a given time, and someone will be sent to you, and they will have a bag over their head. You won't know who they are. And you kill this person without question and take the bounty for killing them. And that closes the loop. Now, is it someone from... Who gets sent where? Someone from the future gets sent to the past
to
die?
Yeah, so 33 years in the future, time travel is invented. It's outlawed almost immediately. And so it's only the gangsters who have control of this time. Or control of time machines, and they send people back 33 years in the past. It's also incredibly hard, for reasons they don't go into, to get rid of a body in the future.
Yeah.
So they send people back in time, and your job is to kill them back in, somebody's waiting at a certain place back in time, and they kill that person, and then they get rid of the body 33 years earlier.
Yes.
And the way that what happens eventually to every single one of these guys in the past, in our present, is at some point, they will send you back.
You kill your future self.
Your future self back. They will, instead of having a bunch of silver bars on their back to pay you, they have gold bars, and you kill them, and that closes the loop. That means like you are no longer like you're
retired. You live the rest of your life now,
and you get to go do whatever you want.
The rest of your life means at some point you will be sent back in time and get killed by your past self.
Yes, in exactly
you know
33
how you
years.
Because you did it.
Exactly. Because you kill yourself. So that's the general premise of the movie. Bruce Willis comes back, and he is the older Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he gets away. And he gets away in the present. And so Joseph Gordon-Levitt is trying to chase down his self to go kill him. And meanwhile, the older one, Bruce Willis, he's trying to save his wife in the future. What happens is, when they came to get him, collect him in the future, his wife got shot. She died. They brought him to go send him back in time. And he thinks if he can just go find this man who wiped out all these people in this crime syndicate, who started sending everyone back to close the loops, then his wife will never die, and he can just live his life with her in the future. So here we are. There's, we're in the present and he's got to find these kids. And he goes to, it's just a man going to a house,
right,
watching the house until he sees a kid show up outside. And the kid's young, I would say like 8 or 9. And he shoots the kid.
Yeah, Terminator 2 style. He knows the name of the person who is going to run the crime syndicate that gets his wife killed. And he knows the rough geographical area where that person is, but he doesn't know the exact person. And there are, let's say, 3 kids by yes. that name in the phone book.
There so are 3 kids,
yeah,
all born at the hospital on this one day. And he knows that the kid was born at this hospital on this day. So he's just, it's like he has the date and the hospital name and that's it. And so he's going to these 3 kids, he knows where they live. And he's like, it's a really sad moment in the first one where he just comes up behind this kid who's coming home from school, who then pulls his key out from under the door or under the pot or whatever and turns around, and Bruce Willis is standing there with a gun and very slowly walks up to this little boy and shoots him. And it's just, they do it all. I mean, they're not shy about being like, oh no, he's going to kill this kid now. And that was rough as a parent to watch. I don't know if it would have fazed me the same way when I was younger, but the rest of the movie, I was so distracted just thinking about this kid who like is, and then when the kid's dead, obviously he didn't go back. He didn't disappear from this time and go forward. So he knows that this kid was innocent.
Yeah. Wrong kid died.
Oh, it's so rough.
There is a difference between us, because certainly I didn't, as a non-parent, I wasn't like, I feel nothing. Kids die all the time in the world. It was effective in any movie, because it's rare to see kids get killed in movies. So I certainly was like, okay, that's what this has done is given the movie enough currency that I am rooting for Bruce Willis to die eventually, because that's the ask that they want. Like, he's in love and all he wants is for his wife to be alive. Okay, but we still need him to lose at the end of the movie. How do we get you to root against this guy who is just so in love? All right, yeah, he kills kids. Good. I was thinking of it in those terms. It sucks to see a kid die.
Oh, it's rough.
But I think the major difference is that's the first thing you use to describe that movie. And for me, as someone even with a memory like mine, I was like, oh yeah, I guess he did shoot some fucking kids.
Yeah, he shoots all of them. He even shoots the kid that he wants to shoot, shoots him in the cheek from pretty far away. Yeah, oh, there you go. See, this is why I came to you.
I am overcompensating. And Jeff Daniels played Abe. Let's go.
And so he shoots a lot of kids in it. That's tough to watch. Also, the main kid in it is very cute and a great actor and reminds me also of my son, which was hard to watch him get shot as well. But I had some questions for you that I think that you can still answer with your knowledge of the plot. One is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt finds the main kid, the kid who's going to grow up to be the bad gangster.
Sid.
Yeah. He goes to this farm. He's living there with his mom. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as soon as he discovers that this is the right kid, he knows that Bruce Willis is going to be coming for this kid. At no point does he just say, maybe you should leave for a while and I'll just stay here and fight my future self. He's like, why don't you guys just stick around and we'll all hang out and maybe I'll sleep with her for a little while. Emily Blunt, I think, is.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sleeps, and like, at no point is that even considered. He's just like, I'll stay here and protect you. When there's a real opportunity there for them to just get in their truck and be like, why don't you leave for a week? Just go somewhere else.
I feel like you answered your own question with the, why don't I, and then maybe I'll sleep with Emily Blunt. Because the other thing that we know about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, young Bruce Willis at that point, is he is not old Bruce Willis yet. He is not the, I am so heartbroken by the loss of the love of my life that I'm going to break all the rules of time travel and kill several children to try to get back to my dead fucking wife. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, when we meet him, young Bruce Willis, is on drugs and he's visiting sex workers, which this is not to condemn drugs or sex work, I guess. It just means that he's a very different, love is not on his radar at all. Yeah. He's a numb person who kills for a living. And we've watched him sort of show little to no sympathy for his friend, Paul Dano, when Paul Dano needs to die. He, like, he's a cold, numb person, and he meets Emily Blunt when he's at this very strange crossroads in his life, and she makes him feel something that I don't think he's felt before and probably thought was impossible for him to feel, because he's one of the things that makes him so effective as a killer who doesn't flinch at shooting a stranger with a bag over his head for silver bars, also makes human connection difficult for him. So I think finding Emily Blunt, this badass shotgun wielding single mom in a wonderful farmhouse in the middle of the field with her like quirky son.
Yeah.
I think it awakens something in him that challenges him. I think,
yes,
like he's not thinking like the cold killer that he was all his life. I think it's that's the movie being effective by,
yeah,
having him not consider sending her away.
That's because fair from his point of view.
Yeah.
Why?
And he thinks I might be dead soon, so let me spend this time. Old me got to live a whole life, got to fall in love, and now that if I don't close this loop, he ruins it for me. And I didn't get to have this love that he got. All my only shot is maybe falling in love with Emily Blunt for however much time I have left on this earth.
That's fair. From her perspective, though, if somebody came to my house and they're like, hey, a version of me from the future knows where you live and they're coming to kill you, I would be like, okay, well, then why don't I not be here?
Yeah.
Like, why don't I take my child and go somewhere else? Like, that would be a way easier way to deal with that. The other thing that I was very confused by at the very end of the movie, Dan, was that hope no one else is, this is going to be a spoiler to people, even though it's like a brand new movie. At the end,
yeah,
he
guys,
decides...
real quick, if you haven't seen Looper, don't have started this podcast.
There's a point where at the end where Bruce Willis has the opportunity to kill this child. Emily Blunt's standing in front of him because she wants to like take the bullet for him. We find out that this kid has watched his mother die in the future. Like, mm-hmm. There's stories about this guy. But this kid has already watched who he thinks is his mother die. Emily Blunt gave this child up when she was very young to her sister. He accidentally killed her with his powers.
Yeah.
And that's the woman that he thinks is his mother. And he remembers that moment. And he thinks Emily Blunt is a liar when she says that she's actually his mom. We know that he's already watched his mother die. That moment has happened. And so Bruce Willis is about to kill his kid. Joseph Gordon-Levitt sees it about to happen. And the only way that he knows that he can stop Bruce Willis from where he's standing, like from a choreographical point of view, is to kill himself. So he does that. He closes the loop by just killing himself. So Bruce Willis doesn't even exist. And it's a self-sacrifice that he does to save this kid and this mom. Doesn't that mean this kid just grows up to still be that crime lord?
I think we are supposed to believe that it doesn't, but one of the crucial things about Looper that I think at the time probably made me angry, because at the time I was still working at Cracked, and the whole point of that, not the whole point of that place, but a lot of what we did was pull apart plot holes and inconsistencies in movies, and extract them to hilarious premises. There's a scene at a diner with Bruce Willis and young Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, where they're trying to iron out some of the finer details of the logic within the movie. And Bruce Willis very pointedly, almost direct to camera, is like, listen, shut up about time travel. If you ask questions, we're going to be here talking about time travel the whole time. And I don't want to do it because this movie is about young me versus me. And there's a kid involved. Shut up.
Specifically,
just let
says,
me do it.
He says, it's imperfect. It's muddy. And that's just like, I think that was like a note on the side of the script from somebody at some point. It was like this, whatever this explanation is, it's imperfect in mind. They're like, that's perfect. Put that right in. Put that right in the dialogue.
I kind of wish more movies would embrace that kind of thing. I'm not like advocating for shitty writing, because I don't think that's shitty writing. I do think sometimes people can get themselves, writers can get themselves twisted in knots trying to justify everything. And I do think it's important every once in a while for Paul Rudd in Avengers Endgame to be like, yeah, it's a time heist. That's what we're going to do. We're like, don't think about it too much. We're going to go back and don't look. Don't you want to see Captain America fight past Captain America? You do? Okay, then shut up.
Yeah, then shut the fuck up.
Then let me drive.
You want to see Tony Stark meet his dad? Wouldn't that be fun?
All right. Well, quiet down.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let it go.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I thought that Joseph Gordon-Levitt did a great Bruce Willis.
It's really... I love Bruce Willis so goddamn much.
Well, he's not trying to do Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's
not
sure.
at all.
When they were like deciding when they were going to like make this movie, they're like, all right, well, you two should like mirror each other and like trying to figure out each other's mannerisms. Bruce Willis was like, no, he can do me.
I'm sure Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like, we should meet and like, I want to talk about, we should figure out together because we're building this character together, how we would hold a cup of coffee, how we would walk around a room. And I'm sure Bruce Willis just like wordlessly mailed him a couple of DVDs of Die Hards.
Yeah, he's like,
I was like, I'm gonna do it like that. I'm gonna do it like I've been doing movies.
Yeah,
forever.
Watch 12 Monkeys. It's basically the same thing. I think it's good. I think it's a really good movie. I think they're both really fun in it, and I think Paul Dano. I think, is that before he's famous? It must be because he's got a very small role in it.
Yeah,
but he's excellent.
It's 2012. It's before anyone was famous. This movie came out so long ago. It could have been the first movie.
It was one of the first. Well, they got a great cast together. And those people clearly went on to have some really magical careers. Paul Dano, I was very excited in the beginning because I was like, oh, cool. And then he's gone within like 10 minutes. And I was like, okay. Well, you burned that one. Sure.
Yeah.
We'll move on to some new characters. I think the kid in it is really excellent. Does a very good job.
I know that I'm going to look up this kid after this podcast because I know that he did I Wish I Was Here, the crowdfunded Zach Braff directed movie.
Okay.
That was supposed to be like a spiritual cousin to Garden State and was kind of dog shit. But that kid was in it and he was very good.
Yeah.
And then in my brain, he completely fell off the map. But that there's always a chance that like, I'll do a Google search. It's like, whatever happened to this actor? And then I find out they've been on some like Disney XD show for 10 or like, boy, this actor was great. What happened to him? Oh, he's a series regular on something called Blue Bloods. All right. He's been steadily working for 15 years on some CBS procedural. Cool.
Right. I also, this movie does a thing that I really enjoy. Like Children of Men does it really well too, where you have future technology that's old as shit by the time you're watching the movie. Like it's already rusty and bad.
Yeah.
Technology we don't have in our time, but like they clearly have then, and that they're all just taking for granted and it's dog shit to them as far as they're concerned. Right. Like cool motorbikes that hover and they're just like, they're to, as far as they're concerned, this is an old piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I really like when like future technology is rusty in my movies.
Yeah. What else did I like about that movie? I like the scene with Jeff Daniels. I love Jeff Daniels so damn much.
He's great in it.
And he is one of the rare people sent from the future to live in the past because the crime syndicate needs someone from the future to be like their man on the ground to run things, someone they trust. Most people just like live their lives forward, except some who get sent back just to die. And Jeff Daniels is one rare exception of like, no, it's like taking a job across country. Like I'm moving across time for work and you can't time travel forward in time except the normal way of just like aging and time passing. So he will never get back exactly to his life. He is just sent on assignment to grow old 33 years in his past.
It is very cool.
He's very funny. And when he's talking to Joseph Gordon-Levitt about retiring, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like, I think I'm going to learn. And he was like, you should learn Chinese or you should learn Mandarin. Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like, I think I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm from the future. You should learn Mandarin. And I remember liking that exchange when I saw it back at 26 years old.
Yeah, back when you were a young buck. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk about this movie with me, Dan.
Yeah, man, of course.
Next week, I will be tackling Spider-Man. No, that's not true.
Which one could it be?
There's more than one? It certainly is No Way Home. I'm certainly not No Way Home. I won't get to that one for quite a while.
No, I almost spoiled some of that, but then I thought, no, there's no way that's on planes yet.
Oh, the idea of a plane ride sounds so nice to me right now.
What was the, how did you manage to, I guess
watch
I have,
Looper?
Yeah.
Great question.
Did you watch it with Colleen, no. Tu esposa? No?
No. I did not watch it with my esposa. I don't, she doesn't watch movies really. The only one that we watched was, we got screeners too. And occasionally she will be interested in watching.
Oh, you finally got the Looper screener?
So she and I watched Licorice Pizza together. But that was like, that was her movie for the year, basically. Right. I watched it on my own because occasionally at work, our schedule is frenetic, where like we'll be working really, really hard. And then all of a sudden, like something will come up and we don't work for that day for whatever reason. Or like the other room finishes early and we were the joke room for them. And so we just like, well, we'll just cut out early today. And so every once in a while, I like, get these moments where I have an afternoon to myself. And I had already worked out that morning. I didn't have a ton that I needed to do. And I was like, I'm going to just go to Netflix. I don't even know what movie. It's like basically like when I was a kid and I would just turn on UPN or something like that and be like, whatever's on, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to do that and just go to Netflix. And the first thing that popped up for me was Looper. And I was like, you betcha. And so I watched Looper.
That's good. I'm glad that you landed on Looper because it is an enjoyable film. And I'm glad you got to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
With you and because my brother doesn't get to watch a lot of movies either because he spends a lot of time with his family and he works and he's like always fixing his house or exercising with his free time. And so with both of you, whenever you see a movie, I'm like, what's it going to be? What is the movie that you're going to see this month? What made the cut somehow? Prestige again. All right.
It doesn't sound like there's a rhyme and reason to it, but the idea of wasting time is almost more enticing to me than like watching something really good and that I need to see for pop culture reasons. The idea of me just spending time, burning time is like the greatest. That would be the greatest gift I could have, which is why I'm so excited about the prospect of a plane ride where it's only me. I can't do anything else. I can't work on my house or do any of the other stuff because I'm stuck in this plane. And I know that these movies are going to be mediocre and broad and bullshit, but I'm going to watch one of them and I get to choose which one it's going to be that I waste my time with. And just the idea of wasting time is so luxurious to me that just thinking about it gives me goosebumps.
Well, good for you. Tenemos tiempo para uno más o no?
Champo?
What does champo mean?
No, I was trying to understand what you said. I think it said champo.
Oh,
say it again. Say it again.
Tenemos tiempo para uno más.
Sí. Tenemos tiempo.
Tight.
What did you want to ask?
I know.
You're gonna do it in Spanish, aren't you?
No, I actually, I don't have another question. In my fantasy, this played out as you just being impressed with that sentence, and also the answer being no.
Well, let's see what time it is. Oh no, we don't actually. No.
Oh, good.
No,
that's how I wanted things to go. I wanted us to like easily flow into Spanish to take us out of the episode. Instead, I did my best, and then you said "champo."
Yeah, I fucked that up. Sorry,
no,
Dan.
I have a very cowardly pronunciation of things where I need to do it fast because I don't trust myself. I do that off also with like actors' names that are not like firmly very basic, easy English names, where like I'll she would tell a Gia for, and my brother will be like, well, wait, slow that down, let me hear it. I'm like, no, it only comes out that speed. I have to get a running start, and then I scream it, and then I'm gone. I can't break it down into its component parts because I memorized it as one would a song, and that's it.
Dan, I'd had to look this up because I don't know how to actually say it. Lo aruine. Fuck. Lo aruine. 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 Lo aruine. That means I messed it up.
Oh, okay. So you had to look it up because you didn't know how to say it. And you, what about looking it up made you think that you then did know how to say it?
Well, it's right there on the computer. I thought, I'll just pronounce that normally. But then I got... I really got... I struggled. There was a accent over the E because it's past tense. And I didn't anticipate that. And I knew that the minute I did it, it was a mistake. Although I was reading it, I was thinking, huh, ruins in the middle of that word. Oh, no, there's more.
Oh!
And then had to keep going.
I love the confidence that I think we both felt, because as soon as you said, I had to look this up, I thought, well, I'm in safe hands.
It's now occurring to me also that maybe your translator is onto something, because I somehow never learned in school how to say I messed that up or I messed up, which seems super useful.
Yeah. I'm definitely sure before I learn how to say I'm bleeding, please help me, I will know how to say I fucked that up, man.
Let's start over.
Yeah. Shit, I didn't think you could hear me. My bad. Well, you can find us.
I'm just occurring Twitter. To me that this podcast must be torture to anyone who actually speaks Spanish.
I mean, on the plus side, it's also torture for anyone who
who saw came Looper here expecting, in 2011.
Yeah, anyone who saw Looper in 2011, anyone who was like, "Oh, a podcast where people ask questions and get answers." That sounds right up my alley. Anyone who was.
Anyone
a fan of ours on Cracked and enjoyed a version of me that didn't talk about working out and going on races so much.
That quick poppy dialogue we used to have when we would write it.
Mm-hmm. Fans of Last Week Tonight, fans of American Dad, this show's not for you.
God, no, it's really thinning the demographic.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I guess sorry. Lo siento.
Yeah. Is that sorry?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a helpful
That's
one.
That's good to know. Yeah, absolutely. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD on Twitter or me at DOB_INC on Twitter. You can find and continue to congratulate our CFO at MakeMeBaconPLS. Make Me Bacon, please. Email the show at qq@soranddaniel@gmail.com. Find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/qq_SorenandDan. People are probably wondering why I'm going in that order, because it seems like I would do all the Twitter things together, and they must be wondering why I jumped directly to email and then back to Twitter. It's because that's how it's written down in front of me 2 years ago, and I haven't changed it since, which is why I say things like, we also have a Patreon, because that's written down, even though the address of our Patreon is not. You can find higher and... just respect
you can't
from afar.
Do any of those things
can't do any of those things. A guy named Gabe runs this whole show. You'll never find him. He's great, and he is wise to distance himself from us.
Smart.
Adios.
Adios.